Hello, Amal. Nice to see you all. Okay, so most of you know me, but for those who don't know me, my name's George. My wife, Letitia, my two boys, Georgie and William, next door. The four of us have been part of this church family now for about 6 years. And we absolutely love this church. I've been a Christian now for about, in September this year, I'll be born again for 20 years. It's been a long time. But I must say, this is definitely probably our favorite church that we've ever been part of. yeah, we just love the people. We are very, very thankful for our leaders, Retief and Edna, Pietri and Karin. Yeah, we're just very thankful. I think one of the things that I've realized, you know, sometimes in your journey with God, God literally sends people over your path to unlock certain things in your life that God has planned for you. And Retief and Edna has really been people that I can testify that, like that. There's certain things that we would have not been able to walk in today if it wasn't for them. And I really believe this church has got, not just for us, but for many of us that's sitting here tonight, there's certain keys that people that in this church have that will unlock your destiny. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight. So tonight I want to talk to you about a topic that's very, very close to my heart. It's the Father's purpose. And before I'm going to jump into the message and share some of the things that I feel for or want to discuss tonight, I want to share a bit of a background on my journey and why this topic is so so close to my heart. So, you know, when I started preparing for this message, I actually thought back a bit on my journey as a Christian, and I realized that for a number of years, especially in the early years, I really struggled with the concept of the Father, you know, Father God. And for some reason, when I was younger, I loved to read the stories of Jesus. I loved to spend time with the Holy Spirit. But the concept of God the Father was an uncomfortable one. It was a difficult one for me to understand. I'm not sure if anyone can relate to what I'm saying, but what I thought I'll do is I'll share a quick story about something that happened to me. I got saved when I was in Standard 8, grade 10 these days. And I lived in Paul, so the Lord worked it out in such a way that I joined a little small church in Wellington. Now, for those of you that don't know Wellington that well, it's a very sophisticated town of people. And my wife and Nita also actually, they were in the same church with us during that time. And it was, I mean, if you want to hear the weird and wonderful stories of Wellington, you can always ask them. But what happened at this church was it had a Bible school. So quite often people would come to this church, guest speakers, and they would come and share with the students, you know, various things about the Bible. There was theologians there. But there was this one specific guy. He came at least once or twice a year, and he had a strong prophetic gift. So it was quite a new concept to me. You know, he would preach like this, and then he would, for half an hour, 40 minutes, whatever, and then he'll stop, and then he will literally prophesy to every single person in the room. Okay? Yeah, a lot like Retief does. And so we heard that this guy's coming, so we were all very excited. And so I thought, what I'll do is I'll sit on the front row, okay, so that this guy can't miss me, right? And so I was very excited, sit on the front row, guy starts sharing this message, and I'm not kidding, during the whole message, I don't think he made eye contact with me once. So now I'm thinking, okay, and it's coming towards the end of the message, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to do? And I remember someone said before the message that this guy had to leave right after the sermon because he was going to another appointment. And so I thought to myself, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask this guy if I can carry his bag to his car. And maybe on the way to the car, he'll get some sort of enlightenment or revelation and then maybe share something with me, you know? So I was literally like Nehemiah was the cupbearer, I was the bag carrier, okay? And so I went up to him, I asked him, he said, no problem, gave his bag to me. And I was literally walking half a meter behind him while all these people are talking to him. And I thought to myself, it's fine, man. When we get out of the building, all these people will go back and I'll be alone with him. So as we were walking, there was this one guy that just didn't want to leave. And almost 5 meters before the car, this guy turns around, he looks me straight in the eyes, and he said to me, I just sense the Lord says, you've got a deep revelation of what it means to be a son in the Father's house. And so I thought, wow, that's quite an interest or quite a unique first line to a long 5-minute prophecy. But this guy literally grabbed his bag, jumped in the car, and drove off. And there I was standing. And I was thinking, wow, okay. And so I was quite puzzled because, you know, when I started digesting this message or this little one-liner prophecy, I actually realized that out of all the people I know, I was probably the last person that I knew that qualified to have a deep revelation of what it means to be a son in the Father's house. You know, because, to be quite honest, because of the relationship and the background I had with my own father, because we didn't have a good relationship. But one thing that I've learned over the years is that many times God chooses the most unlikely and the most unqualified to communicate the things that are most important to him. Okay, so that's a story of my life. Okay, but to jump back a little bit and just give you guys a bit of a more context. So early in my journey with God, I really struggled to connect the New and the Old Testament. You know, I loved meditating on the stories of Jesus. I loved the miracles. I loved the concept of forgiveness, the parables. I really loved the concept of Jesus being so bold that he confronted the religious and the self-righteous people of the day. I almost felt, geez, you know, that's great. I can relate to that. And I felt that if I had to live in the days of Jesus, I would be okay. Because even though I came from a background where I made really bad decisions, people that are here tonight that knew me before I got saved will tell you that I made bad decisions. I felt like a failure. We won't get into all of that. But at least now when I look at the life of Jesus, you know, I've got a second chance. But when I looked back into the Old Testament, it was a completely different experience. You know, I could relate a little bit to David. With him, he's quite an interesting guy, and I love to read Psalms. But other than that, I felt confused, disconnected from a God that looked very different in the Old Testament compared to the God in the New Testament after Jesus came on the scene. But then, somehow, I think through people that God sent over my life, reading the Word, and just really stucking with what God was doing, I got a glimpse that God had a much bigger purpose. Such a big purpose that God originated this purpose even before the foundations of the world. Even before we were created, God had a plan in mind, right? And the incredible revelation that I got was our Father, God himself, had a plan to have a family of sons and daughters that will rule and reign with him here on earth. And now at least I could make this connection between the Father's purpose and the mission that Jesus had here on earth. Guys, I can't tell you, this was a massive, massive breakthrough in my relationship with God, because now all of a sudden I could connect the Father's purpose with Jesus' life here on earth. And I started seeing what God intended through the eyes of His firstborn son. And a lot of what I'm going to talk about tonight is actually where we fit in as sons and daughters in God's bigger plan. So this portion of scripture that I'm going to read to you now actually played a big role in me understanding God's purpose. Genesis 1:26-28 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it.'" And here that word comes again. "Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." I don't know about you guys, but there was a moment where the penny dropped for me, where I realized that the God of the universe wants to partner with me in ruling and reigning over His creation. And that was quite intimidating. Like, it was almost too big or too good to be true, right? But through God's grace, He started to reveal some keys that I needed and we need to be able to rule and reign with Him. Okay? Matthew 16:19 says, "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind here on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be bound or loosened in heaven." And so I realized that one of the key things we need to apply to fulfill the Father's purpose is to rule and reign. Or in other words, the concept that we're going to unpack tonight is how to exercise our authority and have dominion. Okay, so why does the Father want us to rule and reign with Him? That's probably the next question you're asking me. So I'm going to tell you. Firstly, because God is looking for a family that will represent His family name here on earth. Secondly, this is where a big part of tonight comes in, is God wants us as sons and daughters that understand the message of reconciliation to go out there and go and talk to people and connect with people and tell them that God has reconciled them, the lost sons and daughters, to their Father. And then He wants us to love and serve the people around us and also impact the environment that we are in. Right. So one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is 2 Corinthians 5:19. Paul says, "God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting people's sins against them, but canceling them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation, that is restoration to favor with God." Now, guys, I want you to imagine, this is incredible, because this is a message that God has given us as sons and daughters, the mandate to go out there and tell people that God is not counting their sins against them. God is not counting their failures. Like, before I became a Christian, I felt like a failure. I felt like I'm doing all the wrong things for all the wrong reasons. Okay? We have the mandate to go to the people and say, God has removed all of that and He's already reconciled you to Himself. Okay? But I remember when God started speaking to me about these four concepts, representing His family name, reconciling the sons and the fathers, loving those and serving those around you, and impacting the environment around you, I didn't know where to start. I had absolutely no clue what this means. I was so focused on all the people around me. But I didn't know where to start. And every single time, God brought me back to this one thing. He asked me, George, what do you have in your hands? What is it that you have that where I can start? And that's one of the key things that I want to ask you guys tonight is, what did God put in your hands? What do you have? Okay. Because sometimes we are so aware of what we don't have. You know, we get distracted because we focus on what others have. What does that guy have in terms of, you know, his teaching ability or his leadership ability or whatever? But and that causes us to lose focus on what we do have and what we can offer to God. Okay, and I just want to say this to you guys, we don't have an idea of what God can do with the things that we put in His hands. So whatever you have, let's give that to God. The next concept I just want to unpack quickly is, how does a life look that lives out the purpose of the Father? Okay, so the first concept that I quickly want to talk about is ownership and responsibility. Someone that lives out the Father's purpose. All the people that I know that are actively walking out the Father's purpose are people that somewhere along the line decided to say, Lord, I'm going to take ownership and responsibility of what you have given to me. Okay? And firstly, we have to understand that we've received the mandate and the authority to fulfill God's purpose. The Father's purpose, He's given us the mandate and the authority to fulfill it. Secondly, and this is quite a big one, is we need to know that the decision-making power to follow God and take responsibility for His purpose lies with us, and no one else can make the decision for us. Okay, so you need to know that God has given you the ability to make the decisions to take ownership of His purpose. Then one of the best ways to start the process of ownership and responsibility is to identify an area in your life where you're passionate about God and God's kingdom. And where you feel led to exercise authority and dominion to make a difference. Now, I just want to quickly share something on this. Many times in church circles, we have the tendency to over-spiritualize what it means to be passionate about something. And I believe, this is my conviction, that if you are passionate about something, something that you are good in, something that you love doing, that is an indication of something that God has given to you to make a difference, where you fit into the purpose. Okay? And so I want to talk a little bit. The question I had was, where do you feel called to make a difference? Okay? I just wanted to share that. So I actually thought, I did a bit of research on lions, and what's quite interesting about lions in the wild is they give us great insight into what it means to exercise authority and have dominion. So a lion has authority in the wild because God created it and placed it in that environment. Okay? But to exercise their authority, there are specific things they need to do. So we all know a lion is a lion because it can hunt, it can protect itself, and it can chase away the intruders. Okay? But dominion is different. Now, dominion evolves around a pride of lions, okay, that has the ability to organize themselves and control an area. Okay, firstly, one single lion can't control a whole area, can't have dominion over a whole area. it's an effective pride that works together as a team that has the ability to do that. Now, if we use that in our own relationship with God, we first need to understand the God-given position and identity that we have in God. And then secondly, we have to take action in line with our identity and the position that God has placed us in. And then dominion is, I said, yeah, dominion is a full-time job. The reason why I'm saying that is it has the, you need the ability to diligently exercise authority over a consistent period of time while you implement effective leadership and teamwork towards a common goal. Now, guys, this principle is incredibly powerful, and you can implement it in any area of your life. I can testify that when Tish and I started focusing, we've all the clutter, all the external noises, we've pushed that out, we've asked ourselves, God, what is it that you have, where have you positioned us? What have you called us to? What have you given us authority over? And where do you want us to have dominion? And we started aligning ourselves with that word, with that concept, constantly. And we stopped giving our decision-making power away. We stopped worrying, what's it, Womyani and Tani Sani, and what is this guy doing, and how successful is this Oaks business, and whatnot. Forget all that. What is God saying to me? What has God put in my hands in this season? Okay? You know, many times I thought about this, you know. The enemy has the ability to take our minds, and we have been called to be lions in the wild that take action and have authority where God has called us. But what he says to us, no, you're a lion in a zoo. And what happens in a zoo? Someone carries meat to the lion, throws it over the fence, and does all his work for him. All he needs to do is chow, 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 and sit back. Okay? Right. But God has called us to recognize where has he placed us, what position are we in, and what is the purpose of us being here. So I thought to myself, you know, where will I find, if I wake up tomorrow and I call one of you guys, or all of you, where will I find you? What position will you be in? Okay? Now that gives you a very good idea of where God wants you to take authority. You know? Like I always Miles Monroe always said this, he always said it, and it stuck with me. He said, many people asked him, Dr. Miles Monroe, why do you have the ability to be so effective in the kingdom of God? And he said to him, it's very simple. He said to them, God knows my address. So I'm like, what do you mean? He said, it's very simple. If God has an assignment for me and the people that I'm surrounded with, he knows where to find me. I've been there for the last 30 years. He comes to me, tells me what to do, and I move from there. But you know what? Sometimes we, and I count myself into this, I start something today, and in 3 weeks, I stop with it. Or maybe I start a business today, and in 3 months, God wants to send someone to that address. But I'm not there anymore. I've given it up. I'm on to the next thing. God needs to know where he can find us, where the position is. That's why I said to Tish, we've been here for 6 years in this church. I want to be here for another 6 years. Because at least God knows where to find me, and he knows if he's got an assignment for me, I know where I am. Okay. Yes. And so when I look at my own life, and guys, this is incredible. I said to Tish, this year feels to me like God has opened the floodgates. Okay? And I tell you, a big part of it is to do with this concept, this principle. Is I recognized in most areas where I have taken the responsibility and consistently implemented God's authority. And it started to form a life-giving dominion. So it's almost like you you give it a little bit of food, a little bit of water, a little bit of, and it starts growing and growing. And in the beginning, it's small, but after a while, it becomes life-giving. It becomes an area where you have control. And then it produces a stronghold where God's kingdom can rule and reign. And you know what's the amazing thing is, not just myself and my family benefits from it. Everyone around me starts being benefited by it. They can taste and see that the Lord is good because something found root in my life, but it's now growing. So someone can walk past me and pick it off, taste it, and say, "Juice, that's nice. Can I have more of that?" Okay? You know what I'm saying? So do not despise it. Everyone always says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. That is why you shouldn't despise the day of small beginnings, because when that small thing starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger, it gets to a point where other people can start partaking of it. Okay? That's why I said, yeah, this church is called to be a stronghold in this area. Your family is called to be a lighthouse in the area of Tableview, Melkbos, Blouberg, wherever you are, because of this principle. Okay? Secondly, someone that lives out the purpose of the Father is someone that builds. Okay? Proverbs 24, 3-7 says, wise people are builders. They build families, they build businesses, they build communities. Okay? I know a lot of you here that are building businesses, you are building communities, you are building. And through intelligence and insight, their enterprises are established and endure. Because of their skilled leadership, the hearts of people are filled with treasures of wisdom and the pleasures of spiritual wealth. So, something that happens when God cultivates and refines His kingdom in us, something that happens is you start getting vision and you start getting passion for the things that God is important to God. But this is very important to understand, guys. When the Israelites got out of Egypt and they're on their way to the promised land, I think many of them thought, we're just going to walk into the promised land and we're just going to enjoy the promised land. But you know what happened? They got to the promised land and there was massive giants in the promised land. Okay? Massive giants. And what I want to say to you guys, that the areas that God is calling you, as you are opening your life, as God is refining His kingdom in you, you're getting a passion and a vision for something, I can almost guarantee that that area might be in a state of disorder, okay? Or it might be occupied by someone else that has influence over it that's not a son or daughter in the kingdom of God yet, okay? It doesn't mean you're not supposed to take that land, that school, that business, that family member, that whatever it is that God has put in your heart. It just means that there will be resistance. And all through the Bible, we see it. Okay. So I said, yeah, those areas are not going to be given to us. We need to take it. Okay. My marriage wasn't given to me. I need to take it every day. Promise you. Okay. Amen. Yeah, and look how beautiful she is and amazing wife she is. Yeah. It's interesting, the Hebrew word for father is the word Abba. Okay? And my wife actually sent me this. I thought it was incredible, so I put it in the teaching. So the first two letters of Abba is Ab, A-B. Now, Ab sometimes in the Hebrew word or Hebrew language does not mean physical father as much as it means architect, builder, creator, source, or to produce. The one who calls something to be. Right? Now, I want to say to you guys tonight, it's in your DNA to build. Why? Because it's in your father's DNA. Right? I want to ask you, who of you here tonight have a dream or a vision to build something for God? All of you. Why? Because the Father's DNA is in you. Okay. I've got a lot to say about this, but I've got limited time. So I'm going, how many minutes? 3:13. Okay. That's a lot. Anyway, come and talk to me about, I've got a whole thing about what it means to stand under someone to get the right experience in order for you to know how to build. But I'm not gonna go into that. I actually want to pray for us at the end about something. Third one, of someone that lives out the Father's purpose is we're legacy-minded. Okay? Earlier this year, I was standing in a corporate worship session in our church, and I heard the words legacy builders for our church, for myself and the church. I felt God say to me, we need to live with an urgency, like Jesus is coming back tomorrow, but build in such a way that the next generation can continue to follow Jesus in our footsteps. Legacy. Okay? I've noticed in my own life that as I was going through this process, is God started to create an urgency in me to redeem the time. Okay, I'm 36 years old. It's going to be a blink of an eye, and I'm going to be 50. And God's going to ask me, have you walked out that thing that I've given to you? That word that I gave you? Have you started building the legacy? I actually thought of it today. I felt God said to me, George, the world is going to look very different in 20 to 30 years from now. Okay? The battles that we are fighting today to advance the kingdom will look very different in 20 to 30 years from now because of how the environment will look like. Okay? Are we, as the legacy builders, taking that in mind when we think about our kids today? Are we investing the right mindsets and the right visions and the right perspectives into them so that they will be able to walk out what God has called them in 20 to 30 years from now? That's a question I'm asking myself. I actually felt this, and I wanted to share it with you. I felt this is something that the Lord is saying over us. I felt God says, you will reclaim and rebuild what God entrusted to your grandparents and your parents so that your children's children can build from where you left off. I asked the Lord, and it actually came up while I was preparing for this teaching. I asked God, Lord, why did you, because I wanted to go into full-time ministry. That was my thing. And the Lord said to me, no, you're going to go do something else. And so I asked the Lord, why couldn't I go into ministry? And he said to me, he actually revealed this to me over a few years. He said to me, I called both of your grandparents to be influential in certain places in this country for my kingdom. But because of the lack of understanding and implementation of the kingdom, they did not walk it out in the fullness that I've predestined it. I want you to take that mantle and walk with it further. But it's your choice. And for you to do what I've called you, you cannot be in full-time ministry. I'm in full-time ministry now. I'm teaching in the Word. But what I'm saying is there's certain things where God has called me to walk in authority and dominion, which I won't be able to do if I'm in full-time ministry. And many of you here might be able to relate to that. Okay. Then we're almost finished. I want to quickly share a scripture that I felt is important for us to hear. Nehemiah 2 verse 17 says, and I thought about this, Nehemiah was a cupbearer of a heathen king that had absolutely no concern about Israel, Jerusalem, the temple, nothing. The only thing that allowed Nehemiah to go and build those walls was the connection that he had with the king. And he wasn't a godly king. he gave him permission to go. So here's Nehemiah. He said to them, you see the bad situation that we are in? How Jerusalem is desolate and lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come and let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that it will no longer be a disgrace. I felt the Lord said, there are some of you sitting here, you're looking at certain areas in his kingdom, in your area, where you feel something should be rebuilt. There's a disgrace there. You want to rebuild it. Okay? I feel the Lord says, go for it. Do not stand back. Be like a Nehemiah. The Lord will even use people that do not know God to give you favor to do whatever he's called you to do. Okay? And then the last thing I want to share is a guy from influential church leader in America. There's a quote. He said, we magnify our priesthood and enlarge our calling when we serve with diligence and enthusiasm in those responsibilities to which we are called by proper authority. It's very important for us to align ourselves with God's authority and also with the people that has God's authority in our life, and then continuously exercise the things I've talked about tonight to walk out the Father's purpose. Okay. I want us to stand quickly. I'm going to finish off. And then I want you guys to close your eyes. And then there was a few groups that I felt tonight, but actually what I wanted to do is I want you to think of what it is that God has put in your hands. I want you to think of, and I feel there's a lot that God has put in this church, in the people of this church's hands, that he wants to use to fulfill his purpose. And I want you to lift that thing up, that thing where you have a desire, where you have a passion, where you have a vision, where you feel so strong about. I want you to give that to the Lord tonight. Just lift it up to him. Just lift it up to him. And I just want to pray tonight. I want to say, Father, I thank you that you love the people in this church, Lord. You love every single person that's here, Lord. You know them intimately, Lord. You know their family lines, God. You know their gifts. You know what you've called them for. You know how every single person that stands here tonight fits into your purpose. But I specifically want to pray and ask, Lord, that the things that you've put in their hands, that you will start to unlock that for your purpose and your plan, Lord. I pray, Lord, that even tonight while I'm sharing this message, Lord, I pray that you will give them the vision, what they need to build, when they need to build, what to need to be rebuilt and what needs to be built, Father. And the incredible thing is, Lord, is that we have the opportunity to do this with you. It's your purpose. It's your plan. Lord, I pray that you'll give us vision for and make us legacy-minded, not just for ourselves, Lord, but for those around us, for our children's children, Lord, for the bigger area of Tableview, and show us the role that you've called us to play as a church in this area, Father. And I pray that you will release a new authority and a new power, Lord, that we won't be focused on what we don't have, but that we will be focused on what you have given us and what our role is, what our position is, and how you want us to implement that in this season, to co-labor with you in your purpose, Lord. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.